This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
The House will now come to order. Today we'll be led in prayer by Father Ron Gary of the Pierrefort Peer Ministerial Association. Following that, Joshua Rounds of Pier will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Father Ron Gary.
Thanks be to God whose love has gathered us this day. Thanks be to God who helps and guides us on our way. Thanks be to God for all the gifts of light and life. Thanks be to God whose care protects us day and night. Thanks be to God who knows our secret joys and fears. Thanks be to God who, when we call, always hears. Oh, give us, God, the grace to do all things that show our love of you. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson, Birch, Bartles, Barthel, Beal, Bordeaux, Burglum, Bruner, Chafee, Chase, Schwach, Dennert, Deutsch, Diedrich, Juba, Duval, Fink, Freimuller, Glanzer, Goodwin, Gosch, Greenfield, Lana, Gross, Hammack, Hansen, Healy, Howard, Hunhoff, Jensen, Kevin, Johns, Johnson, Chris, Johnson, David, Carr, Coth, Lake, Latterell, Westmeister, Livermont, Marty, McClary, Mills, Milstead, Miskimmons, Mullally, Olson, Otten, Herman, Perry, Peterson, Kent, Peterson, Sue, Pischke, Post, Puyer, Qualm, Randolph, Rasmussen, Reed, Reimer, Ring, Round, Sava, Shanefish, Smith, Jamie, St. John, Steele, Sullivan, Weiss, Wheezy, Willits, and York, Zickman, Speaker Haugard.
Present.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Thank you. Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 10th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Stephen G. Haugard, Chair.
That motion having been made and seconded, any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the House of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared House Bills 1004, 1006, 1016 and 1030, and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully submitted, Stephen G. Haugard, Chair. The Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs respectfully reports that House Bill 1007 and 1043 do pass, and House Bill 1044 do pass as amended. Respectfully, Larry P. Zickman, Chair. The Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that Senate Bill 13 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully, John Mills, Chair. The Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that House Bill 1052 do pass and House Bill 1027 do pass as amended and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully, Herman Otten, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return herewith House Bills number 1004, 1016, 1006, 1016, and 1030, which have passed the Senate without change. Respectfully, Kay Johnson, Secretary.
Motions.
Representative Qualm moves that Senate Bill 47 be referred from the Committee on Judiciary to the Committee on State Affairs.
That motion having been made and seconded, is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. And I see our doctor of the day is here, Dr. Robert Summerer. I visited with him a little bit downstairs. And Dr. Summerer, thanks very much for being here today. Dr. Summerer is a member of the South Dakota State Medical Association. And Dr. Summerer is a general surgeon who practices at Madison Regional Health Center in Madison. He received his medical degree at Des Moines University in Des Moines, Iowa in 1988. He worked as a general medical officer at the Wagner South Dakota Indian Health Service for 3 years, starting in 1989, and then completed his residency at Des Moines General Hospital, also in Des Moines, in 1996. After his residency, he finished off a military commitment with the United States Air Force before moving to Madison. Dr. Summerer is a member of the American Medical Association and American Osteopathic Association. He's been an active member of the South Dakota State Medical Association since 1999, and he currently serves as president-elect of the South Dakota State Medical Association Board of Directors. Welcome, Dr. Robert Summerer. Thank you for devoting your time today. It's appreciated. Consideration of reports of committees.
Representative Quam moves that the reports of the standing committees on judiciary on House Bill 1047, as found on page 156 of the House Journal, and also judiciary on House Bill 1049, as found on page 157 of the House Journal, be adopted.
That motion having been made and seconded, any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. First reading, House bills. If there's anyone new in the House gallery, the reason we're reading the bills like this, it's a constitutional obligation, and we do that even though it's being read one over the other. It's a requirement that we have, and it's the first reading. It's exposed to the public that way, and in fact, now it's on the Internet and available to anyone that wants to take a look. So once that's done, we bring it back. We'll have a second reading once the bill has been considered. Speaker assigns following bills to Ag and Natural Resources, House Bill 1073, to Commerce and Energy, House Bill 1076 and 1079, to Judiciary, House Bill 1070, 1072, 1074, to Local Government, House Bill 1078, to State Affairs, House Bill 1075, to Transportation, House Bill 1077 and 1071. To Military and Veterans Affairs, House Bill 1080 and 1081. Second reading of consent calendar items.
Representative Fry Mueller requested that House Bill 1020 be removed from the consent calendar. House Bill 1048, an act to authorize a public body to conduct certain deliberations in an executive or closed meeting. House Bill 1054, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the possession of firearms on certain vehicles. House Bill 1021, an act to revise certain provisions regarding bid bonds for public improvement contracts. House Bill 1053, an act to revise the value of gifts permitted for certain insurance advertising or promotional programs. Senate Bill 1003, an act to revise eligibility for a deferred imposition of sentence. And Senate Bill 26, an act to clarify certain provisions regarding the regulation of limited gaming in Deadwood, South Dakota.
Items on the consent calendar were reported out of committee with either no dissenting votes or no opposition and are not subject to debate. However, if there are any questions, now is the time to ask. Any questions in regard to the consent calendar items? Consent calendar bills, having had their second reading, are up for consideration, final passage. If there are no questions, are there any questions? Seeing none, the question before the House is final passage of bills on the consent calendar. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote. Please proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Please display the vote.
There were yeas 66, excused 4.
Consent bills having received a majority vote of the members-elect are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions in regard to the titles? Seeing none, the titles are deemed correct. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1033, an act to revise provisions regarding transaction of business by trust companies.
House Bill 1033, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I'm pleased to bring to you a bill today, House Bill 1033, dealing with trusts here in South Dakota. The Governor's Trust Task Force was created in 1997 by then Governor Janklow. This task force has been carried forward by Governor Rounds, Governor Dugard, and now Governor Noem. This long-term cooperative effort between industry, the regulator, our state legislature, and multiple governors has produced a progressive set of trust laws in South Dakota. Currently in South Dakota, there are 97 trust companies located and chartered here in our great state. These companies have $293 billion in assets. In addition, South Dakota trust companies and trust departments employ over 325 full-time equivalents in South Dakota. All 97 companies maintain a presence here in South Dakota, which means they have an office and they're paying taxes. And doing the things that good businesses, good clean businesses, do in South Dakota. This bill makes a couple of adjustments in trust law. I could go through it word by word if you'd like, but I'm guessing you would like that I didn't. In 2018, these trusts paid bank franchise taxes of $2.4 million into our general fund here in South Dakota. This is a good bill. I'd appreciate your green support. And Mr. Speaker, I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that very much. Any questions? Any further remarks? Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In regards to another question that I heard earlier on this trust companies in South Dakota, I did a little quick math, and at the average salary of $40,000, the trust company employees probably add about 15 or more million dollars to our South Dakota economy. So just another reason that it's good to have these stable jobs attracted to South Dakota.
Thank you very much. Further remarks? Any further remarks in regard to House Bill number 1033? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the body is the final passage of House Bill 1033. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote.
Representative Sullivan. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 66, excused 4.
House Bill 1033, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions in regard to the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1046, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the Attorney Recruitment Assistance Program.
House Bill 1046, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Schwach.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the Judiciary Committee, I'd ask that you move along with us to make the Attorney Rural Recruitment Assistance Program a permanent program here in South Dakota. This is kind of a bittersweet moment for me personally because I also get to speak to you on behalf of the State Bar of South Dakota Project Rural Practice Task Force, which was a task force that the State Bar started in about 2011, I believe, end of 2011, early 2012. And for which I've been kind of the secretary of since its inception. And so this is something that I've had an opportunity to really dig into and research and work on over the last 8 years. When we started the task force, we didn't necessarily know what we would come up with. We had a lot of meetings across the state. We knew there was a problem. And we knew we were getting a lot of recognition, both in the state and nationally, just for talking about the problem. In truth, the creation of the program happened kind of quickly, and I think it's kind of important to kind of reflect back on that. And this legislation wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for some pretty crafty work by our Chief Justice David Gilbertson and our former State Bar Executive Director Tom Barnett. And what they did is they had a bill, and it actually got struck down, and then they hoghoused another bill to create a pilot program that allowed for 16 individuals to become a part of this program. And it was a huge success. Those 16 individuals were placed in rural counties. They began providing legal services. And importantly for them, they each got $12,000 for 5 years to help cover the cost of moving out to a rural area and either taking over a practice or starting a new practice. And the program was so successful that this body expanded it to 32 participants and also modified it to allow municipalities that are under a population of 10,000 to also participate in the program, taking into consideration communities like Wall, South Dakota, which are in a county with a lot of population but are pretty far away from that major population center. This is what we're doing today is creating a rolling fund And that will require an appropriation of $150,000 from the United Judicial System's other funds source. And that's a source of funds that comes from fees that they collect when cases are filed and through the court system. So it's separate from the general fund and everything else that we debate over the terms of the course of the session. And that fund requires that the funds be used to pursue the interests of justice. And I would argue that making sure that people in rural areas have access to an attorney, whether they've been charged of a crime or they just need help with some estate planning, is pursuing that justice. And what I love most about this program is that it requires the State Bar of South Dakota and the counties to also contribute money. So while we are making this program permanent, there's kind of this natural regulator in that local government also has to take the lead and be willing to contribute as well. And so I think that that's great when we're looking at this long term. And I just want to close by saying my wife is a recent graduate of USD School of Law. So I've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of our future lawyers about this program. This program has given a lot of young lawyers hope that their legal career will not be limited to Sioux Falls, Rapid City, or Aberdeen or Pierre, where most of our attorneys are located. And that for some, they can give back to the communities that raised them. And for others, that they can strike out on their own path in a new community. This program makes that possible. And the way I've always viewed it is that this $12,000 that we contribute a small fraction of is helpful to them in making sure that they can meet their student loan obligations, which is kind of the big risk as a young lawyer, I can assure you, in starting out your own practice and taking that chance, is are you going to be able to make that first monthly payment? So I would encourage everyone to support this program. It's been wildly successful, and please vote yes.
Thank you very much for the remarks. Representative Pischke.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since the calendar is pretty short today, I thought I would don you guys with an explanation of why I was the lone no vote in committee. It seems like I'm always on an island, so to speak, and it's very possible I'm going to be on an island with this vote today. So, first off, I want to make certain that everybody knows that I am certainly not against attorneys. I understand.
And we appreciate that very much.
Yeah, I understand that there may be a different sentiment amongst this group that I feel differently amongst that group, but that's certainly not true. A fine lawyer once told me that, told a joke in saying that 99% of lawyers give the rest of us a bad name. And so I took that to heart. I mean, I really understand that that's absolutely correct numbers. So, but moving on to the bill, I was a no vote in the committee, and the reason being is that I personally feel that this legislation and this program flies in the face of the free markets of South Dakota. It's a government program, and yes, the fees are from mostly UJS and the state bar, and some is kicked in from the county, and I get that, but keep in mind that money is essentially taxpayer money. So this is a government program funded by taxpayers, and basically to create, in a sense, winners of the lawyers over another occupation. You could make an argument that the Board of Cosmetology, they should set up a pilot program so that we have more cosmetologists out in the city of, in the county, Harding County. Now, I understand it's very important to look good and have cosmetologists all over the state in these small districts, but I don't necessarily think that that's the right course of action to have a pilot program, a government program, to pick those winners and losers. So, for some of those reasons, I can't support the program. Like I said, I do support attorneys. I think that they do have a fine place in our economy. But I was a no vote in committee, and I will continue to be a no vote on the floor. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thanks for that explanation. Further remarks? Representative Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would ask you to vote no against this. As was pointed out, this program started in 2013, so it's only been around for 5 years. That means for 124 years of our state's history, somehow we survived without this program. and I know we can survive without it again. Has it been successful? Of course it's been successful. Every program that gives away taxpayer dollars for free is going to be successful. I would just ask you to vote no. As I said before, you know, well, he mentioned it before. The good representative here mentioned it before. The argument may be made that this is being funded with other funds, but the reality is it all comes out of taxpayer pockets. Whether it's the 35% that's being paid by the counties, the county residents are paying that. The other funds are coming from the court automation fund, something called the company 3012, and then funding source 829, which I can't tell you what those other two are. The court automation fund is mostly filing fees. So that's coming out of taxpayer pockets. Our citizens come to us, at least I get told repeatedly, our taxes and our fees are too high. All they do is increase, increase, increase. Well, this is why. Because we go, oh, it's a good program, and our emotions take over, and we think, you know, it's successful. Let's just continue it, and everything will be good. We have to learn to say no eventually, and this is a start. So I would ask you to vote no. And my good seatmate handed me a note. So Company 3012, that money is coming from the Board of Bar Examiners, and then we have the Court Automation Fund. And I didn't understand the court appointed something, but anyways, essentially it is still coming out of taxpayer pockets. So I would ask you to vote no on this.
Thank you for the remarks. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, yes, there may be some citizens' input in the line of taxes or fees when it comes to moving these attorneys into the rural areas of our state. It's the rural areas of our state that are most important to our economy. That's the backbone, our agricultural areas. We've got some of these areas that are literally the towns are shrinking. We still have people that have to live on the land, work the land, to make South Dakota successful. So what are we doing? We set up a program to allow attorneys, young attorneys, to move into these small communities at the request of the county. So there's a county decision, local decision there. Do we want it, yes or no? This is important to our rural economy, to have somebody in these local districts, these counties, these small communities, to help these people with legal issues, with setting up a trust, setting up a will, the sale of land, the property. This is rural South Dakota, which is our backbone. I have no problem. The people of South Dakota support this. I have the only negative I've heard of this is just the last two commenters. Over the years, we've had this program. It's very successful. We've got places in South Dakota where they have to import a state's attorney because they do not have a local attorney in those counties. We need the court-appointed attorneys in some of these locations. This is where we're going to get them. Hopefully, they will set up roots and be successful and stay there until they retire. That's the goal of this program. I see no reason why we should vote no on this. I can listen to the cosmetology part. Hair breeders can go there. They don't have to be registered with cosmetology anymore. So that part we got covered. But these attorneys' spouses have to have something to do. So not all of them have jobs when they move there. You know, they can get a cosmetology license. I'm sorry. This is something that... there's a rabbit hole there someplace, and I'm trying to figure out where. But let's support this bill. Let's move it on. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the remarks, Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the representative from Yankton County.
State your question.
I see this bill, the sunset currently is July 1, 2022. Is there a reason why we are trying to address this now rather than in the next 3 years, sometime closer to the sunset?
Well, the sunset as it applies, it's a five-year grant. So when you get accepted to the program, you get a payment for 5 years. So I believe this is the last year that we can kind of enroll people. And another reason just to make it permanent is just because it's been so successful. And to get to some of the points we're talking about, counties are saying that they've needed this for a long time, and that's going to continue. And it's, you know, like the representative from Pierce said, you know, we want these people to work in these communities and retire eventually. But there are attorneys in counties now that are close to retirement. That county might not be eligible. So instead of losing out on this program just because we sunsetted it, let's keep it in place so that when those older attorneys are phasing out in counties that might not be eligible now, that county can be eligible in the future.
Thank you. Could I do a follow-up?
Thank you. Go ahead.
What is the how many attorneys are currently utilizing this program? Do you know?
I believe we have 16 that are in the program for sure. I can say with confidence, and there's a cap of 32. A lot of times, speaking from being a part of the task force, is you'll get a student signed up in year one of like law school, and so they're not in the program yet, but we're looking to try and find them a partner in a county for them to go to, or we're just waiting for them to graduate.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further questions? Representative Diedrich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Interesting debate and questions about a program that is effective to help our rural counties save money. As a member of the Judiciary Committee, I listened to the testimony, and the testimony included the South Dakota Association of Counties. And they support the program because it's a local option. They support the program because if they don't have attorneys in those rural areas, they have to hire by contract attorneys to come in to do the prosecuting. They have to hire by contract attorneys to come in and provide the defense that our Constitution requires us to provide, access to the court system, access to an attorney in a criminal situation. Those costs get to a point where it's quite an expense to some of our counties. The counties take a look at it from an economic situation. What do we need in our county to help facilitate commerce? What do we need in our county to help our families through the family things that they need to deal with? And what do we need to do in the county to provide access to our court systems? And if the dollars that they spend on contract services from attorneys that are not in their counties, which of course is going to include travel and other expenses, if they can find a way to have an attorney come there and provide those services, this gives them a tool. It's proactive. The counties have to make that decision. They come to this program to ask for support in that program. The fees are paid by court utilization for the purpose of improving access to the court system for all of the people in South Dakota. And so it's not an increase in fees. It's not a new tax. It's a tool that's a local decision, and it helps those counties and those people who have to answer to their taxpayers whether or not they want to do it. And it saves money or else they don't do it. So I would encourage your support for this bill. It's a tool that our county commissioners need to have, especially our rural county commissioners.
Thank you, Representative Diedrich. Representative Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question for the sponsor.
State your question.
You mentioned that wall in your that wall was an example you used, that this could be used in this program. My understanding is walls in Pennington County, so they would not qualify. Do they or don't they?
Yes, thank you, Representative Goodwin. A couple years ago, the legislature changed the program and expanded it. When we added it was originally 16, then we added it to 32. And one of the other things we added is that a municipality that had a population under 10,000, I believe, could also apply for the program. Now, they still have to meet all the program requirements, which this body has already kind of outlined in law. But what we found specifically with Wall, I think, is kind of the model example, is they're in a county with a lot of people, but they're a good hour drive from where a lot of attorneys are. So there's no perfect county, I guess. So we've kind of made, it's not an exception, it's more of like an addition to the program.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further remarks by anyone other than before Representative Diedrich speaks for a second time? Representative Hansen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just want to speak briefly to the concern that's been raised that, you know, what we're doing here is essentially picking winners and losers and interfering with the free market. That's certainly not how I see this bill. I want to remind the body that at the core, what we're dealing with here is tuition reimbursement. And when we talk about funding tuition, you could argue that we pick winners and losers all the time, because every time we fully fund the tuition of a med student, for example, we don't fully fund the tuition of some other student studying some other field. So this is essentially, in my mind, a full ride scholarship paid after the fact, after they've graduated, after they've proven themselves. But not only that, it's a scholarship where the state isn't funding the full portion. The county's actually picking up 35%. So what other scholarship are we utilizing where not only do we get buy-in from the state, but the county also pays for part of that scholarship, and we guarantee that that person isn't just going to graduate from college and go to some other state. They're staying in South Dakota for 5 years. So I think that's a pretty good deal. And I can also attest to the success of this program just from the people that I know that have participated in it. I've got a few friends that are participating in this program, and I tell you what, they work plenty more hours than I do. I mean, they're busy. And what that tells me is that there is a high demand in these counties for these types of services. And we've done well to provide those services to those people in those counties. It's proven its success, and we should continue the program. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Further remarks? Any further remarks before Representative Howard speaks for a second time? Representative Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I wanted to provide some clarification. There are 19 currently participating in the program. There are 6 contracts pending. Of all the participants in the program, only one has chosen to leave the area when they're done. So that means all the attorneys, except for one, are still in the rural area where they initially went. According to the law as it is now, we have until July 1st of 2022 to enroll new participants. So you're talking almost half the counties that are eligible to participate. There's 48 counties that can participate. Almost half have already participated, have an attorney. The other counties have until July 1st of 2022 to participate, to enroll. So I would again ask you to vote no. We have until July 1st of 2022 to continue to see how this plays out and choose then if we want to extend it or not. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Schwach, anything further? Just to close us out.
Mr. Speaker, the body, again, just ask for your support here. I think what Representative Hansen said was really appropriate. It is like a kind of a scholarship program is kind of how it works on the back end. And we need to think big picture about this program. We've had it for 5 years. It's showing success, as the good representative just noted. Only one has left so far. Of course, that's to be expected. But many are choosing to stay and put down roots in these rural communities. So let's think big picture about this. Let's acknowledge that just the way lifespans are, people are retiring in counties at different rates. I don't think any of us know that right now, what that looks like, but we can anticipate it. And let's ensure that this program is there so that those areas can always have access to vital legal services. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1046. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote. Speaker signs House Bill 1004, and that is an act to revise parole date and calculation provisions. Speaker also has signed House Bill 1006, an act to revise the time requirements for parole reports and plans. Speaker signed House Bill 1016, an act to revise certain provisions of the Alcoholic Beverages Code. And Speaker signed House Bill 1030, an act to allow the Office of School and Public Lands to accept internet bidding for the leasing of state minerals.
Representative Latterell. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 45, nays 23, and excused 2.
House Bill 1046, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions in regard to the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct. Announcements. Representative Post.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to introduce to this House my parents, Marv and Joy Post, standing right here behind me.
Great. Welcome. Glad you're here. And I'll remind the body that tomorrow is the last day for unlimited bills. They're due at the front desk by 12 o'clock. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., room 413.
Thank you very much. Representative Qualm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House State Affairs, 8 o'clock tomorrow.
State Affairs at 8 o'clock. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We will meet in House Education, 7:45 tomorrow. Thank you.
Very good. Representative Zickmund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Retirement Laws will meet 15 minutes after the session closes today in room 412.
Retirement Laws in 15 minutes. Representative Carr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Joint Appropriations will have their first bill hearing tomorrow starting at 8 o'clock. We've got 4 on the docket, 3 from Board of Regents. It'll be interesting. Come and listen in.
Great. Thank you very much. Further announcements. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your House Commerce and Energy Committee will meet tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. up in, 464, up above. And if I may, 39 days till Packer Day at the Capitol.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Point of order, yes. It's out of order. Further announcements. Representative Steele. That motion having been made and seconded, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
We are adjourned.